Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our worship this morning. Today we are celebrating Christ the King. It's the last Sunday of the church's year because next Sunday will be Advent Sunday. So the reading will be thinking about Jesus as King, and my sermon will be about Christ the King as well. So we gather together and I welcome you in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy and peace be with you. We worship with Christians near and far, living and departed, old and young. God's word is for all of us. May it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, speak to us that we may hear your word. Move among us that we may behold your glory. Receive our prayers that we may learn to trust you. Amen. And the prayer for today, the collect for Christ the King. God our Father, help us to hear the call of Christ the King and to follow in his service, whose kingdom has no end, for he reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, one glory. Amen. So the reading today is taken from St Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, reading from verse 33. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over Jesus, which said, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding Jesus and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So when we're thinking about Christ the King, what sort of king is Jesus and what sort of kingdom does he have? We'll wind back to the Old Testament for a moment. All through the Old Testament, you find the Israelites longing for a good king. Most of their kings have been a disaster. Only a few monarchs had turned out to be good ones, notably Solomon and Josiah. By 600 BC, the prophet Jeremiah tries to give hope to the people, telling them that despite the terrible shepherd kings they've had and continue to have, God will raise up a righteous king and save Judah and Israel, the Messiah, God's anointed king. The people spend the next 400 years wondering who this righteous king will be and what would he be like. What sort of king did they expect? Like many of us, their experience is very limited and they struggled to imagine anyone who didn't fit the type of leaders they've heard about in the past and see around them now. Eventually, Jesus is born. Now we know, because hindsight's a marvellous thing, that he was God's Messiah, God's King. But at the time, many were completely confused. They didn't recognise Jesus as God's Messiah, because they had different pictures in their minds of what God's king would be like. Jesus was born in a place that wasn't his home. he became a refugee because King Herod was about to massacre all the children under 2 years of age in the area. He was poor. He seemed to enjoy spending much time with outcasts, lepers, tax collectors, all those many people who people rejected and shoved out to the margins of society. Through Jesus' engagement with them, they experienced his loving acceptance of them, which in turn transformed their lives, and they became Jesus' disciples. But if Jesus really was God's Messiah, the anointed king, why was he falling out with the religious leaders whom he frequently rebuked? And he called King Herod a fox. He wept over Jerusalem because he longed for them to turn back to God and do what God called them to do. On Palm Sunday, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, a symbol of peace rather than a horse like the military leaders rode. To many people, Jesus was an utter disappointment. They'd expected God's Messiah to overthrow the Romans, but he didn't. Instead, the Romans, with the backing of the religious authorities, nailed him to a cross. As W.H. Vanstone wrote in one of his hymns as he meditated on the cross, "Here is God, no monarch he, throned in easy state to reign. Here is God, whose arms of love, aching, spent, the world sustain." Pilate had nailed a notice to the cross. "This is the King of the Jews." I'm not sure if Pilate believed what he wrote. Was there a touch of mockery? Some people tried to persuade Pilate to amend the wording to say, "He said he was the King of the Jews." Pilate refused to do anything more about it. He washed his hands of the whole business. What he knew was that Jesus was innocent. So what do we make of this? How can God's King be nailed to a cross? How could this have happened? Had something gone terribly wrong? A king, the Messiah crucified? I'd like to take you back to the beginning of the coronation service for King Charles III. Do you remember, at the very start of the service, a child from His Majesty's Chapel Royal suddenly appeared? And do you remember the words that the child said? He said, "Your Majesty, as children of the Kingdom of God, we welcome you in the name of the King of Kings." And King Charles replied, "In his name and after his example, I came not to be served, but to serve." To be quite honest, I hadn't anticipated that happening at all. And the words, they were straight out of scripture. You see, it's all very well me giving you a potted biography of what Jesus did, as I've just done. But we do need to remind ourselves of some of the things Jesus said, because they have a bearing as to how Jesus saw his kingship. Jesus said, "I came not to be served, but to serve." Christ is King Charles's servant king, and those words remind us that Christ is our servant king. Servant, that's the important word. Jesus also said this, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it." At another point, Jesus talked about laying down his life for his sheep. What we never find Jesus saying is, "I am the king." In fact, he fled from crowds when he discerned that they were trying to make him a king. Loving, serving, speaking God's truth, putting others first, even if it meant suffering and seeming to lose your life, is the way of Jesus our King. Graham Kendrick wrote a hymn called The Servant King. And I'm just going to read to you the first verse and the chorus. And it really does describe what Christ the King is like. From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve, and give your life that we might live. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. Let's pick about these words. Jesus came from heaven. He'd let go of all his majesty and glory to become a human being. He came to serve and not to be served, giving his life away so we might live. He is our servant King who calls us to follow him and asking us to give ourselves to him daily, kneeling before him in worship. When we sing that hymn or say those words, do we really absorb what we're singing? Do we really mean what we're saying? Laying down his life for us. The cross was always going to be Jesus' destiny. Jesus' vocation was to rescue humanity from the powers of darkness and transfer them to his kingdom, as Paul writes in Colossians. Death's powers, as another hymn puts it, did their worst. They sent Jesus to the cross. Hearing Luke's account with all the insults and mocking is ghastly. Save yourself, they said to Jesus as he hung on the cross. Of course, saving himself wasn't Jesus' way. They failed to understand. He saved others, not himself first. But we can't leave it there at the cross because it's not complete. If the resurrection hadn't happened, all this about Jesus being king would be null and void. When God raised Jesus to new life, that's when God's kingdom was inaugurated with Jesus as king of heaven and earth. It's the resurrection that declares to the world that the cross is a victory and not a defeat. God's kingdom has come on earth and continues to come. It is not completed yet. But God's kingdom has come through Jesus dying on the cross and being raised to new life. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So how does this play out for us? Well, first of all, God calls us to follow Jesus and follow his way of being. And that means loving to the end, serving, being prepared to suffer when we're confronting evil, injustice, cruelty, in order to try to do what is right. That will often involve suffering, but that's what Jesus did, that's how Jesus lived, and we are called to live as Jesus lived. And it's that way of living that will transform our communities, nations, and the world. Amen. So let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. We come to our prayers of confession. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. So we'll pause for a moment just to reflect on the past week and bring to God the things which we want God to forgive us for. The kingdom is yours, but we turn away from your just rule. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The power is yours, but we trust in our own power and strength. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. The glory is yours, but we fall short of the glory of God. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we turn to our intercessions. Let us with confidence present our prayers and supplications to the throne of grace. We pray for all those in positions of power, that they may govern with wisdom and integrity, serving the needs of their people. We pray for our own government and parliament. We fervently pray for peace and reconciliation in Gaza and Israel, Ukraine and Russia, South Sudan, the Democratic Republic of Congo. May your reign come, Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for the church, the sign of your reign, that it may extend your welcome to people of every race and background. May your kingdom come, Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for Christians of every denomination, that together we may come to understand the royal priesthood you bestowed on us in baptism. May your dominion come. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those whose commitment to truth brings them into conflict with earthly powers. We pray that they may have the courage to endure. May your rule come. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for our community of faith in this benefice, that attentive to your word, we may always worship in spirit and in truth. May your reign come. Lord, hear our prayer. And we remember, Lord, all those who we love, who are sick. For those who have been bereaved recently. Lord, may they know your comfort and your healing. We pray for all the medical services in this area, for the staff often under so much strain. And we commend to you all who have died recently. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. loving God, you've taught us that the power of the heart is greater than the power of wealth and might. Help us and hear us as we pray for the fulfilment of your reign. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our King. To him be glory and power forever. Amen. I invite you to join with me in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. To crown all things there must be love, to bind all together and complete the whole. Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And our final two prayers. Faithful Lord, whose steadfast love never ceases and whose mercies never come to an end, grant us the grace to trust you and to receive the gifts of your love new every morning. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Christ our King, make you faithful and strong to do his will, that you may reign with him in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Be in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.